What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
It's 12:02 a.m. on Clendathu, and you're listening to Night Call. Hello, and welcome back to Night Call, a call-in show for our dystopian reality. I'm Tess Lynch, and with me are
Molly Lambert and
Emily Yoshida.
Today, we are also joined by special guest Ezekiel Kwaku. He's a writer and editor based in Oakland. He's also politics editor at New York Magazine's Intelligencer. And people send him photos of flags, which we will get to later. We're very excited to have him on today. Welcome, Ezekiel.
Thank you.
Hey. Yay. Nice to have you on. We have some breaking news this week. As of this morning, I think, Molly, you tweeted that like 100 different people texted you that we got Ghislaine.
We got her.
Ezekiel, have you been following, are you an Epstein head? Are you
I had to like follow him professionally.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would call it being an Epstein right. head. But
it's
like,
not voluntary in your case.
Yeah. Totally involuntary. So I had to dive pretty deeply into it. He's sort of like, for New York magazine, he's sort of like a classic New York magazine story.
Oh, so definitely.
We went all in and like did this big feature on his black book.
Yeah.
Of
that was the cover, if I recall, because I was there then. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to have. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about it is that these people are in so many Getty images of New York high society parties. Page Six just did a slideshow yesterday that was just like famous people with Ghislaine. And it's all just from like premieres and benefits and parties. And some of them probably it was just that they met her that one time and got a photo with her. But who knows? Who knows? A lot of people were in deep.
She was found in New Hampshire at a home owned by
Yolanda Hadid?
No. She was found in New Hampshire at a home that she bought for $1 million.
Oh, right.
Called Tucked Away, all one word.
It's like, also her Wi-Fi password.
Many people, yeah, like New Hampshire is also where Breaking Bad ends, apparently. And
it's where Walter White went. Like hides out when he's like changes his identity, or he gets like witness protection or something. I forget.
He gets a private. It's like private witness protection where he goes out there and like no one knows. He's like in a cabin.
Yeah.
And nobody's supposed to know where he is.
Live free or die.
Which is also the title of the Sopranos episode where Vito Spadafore, who ran away to New Hampshire as well, he was hiding out and may never have been found other than he tired of life not working in the mafia and went to go check on his family.
Listen, when you don't want to get trod upon or be exposed for being an accessory to a sex ring, head to New Hampshire.
But why did I think there was a Yolanda Hadid link?
There is a Yolanda Hadid link.
Okay.
Which is that somebody on Twitter claimed that they saw Ghislaine in the Netherlands, where Yolanda is from and has a house. And they were like, I wonder why Ghislaine is here. And then they put it together later that she's friends with Yolanda and possibly Yolanda was hiding her, allegedly.
Oh, ho. Okay.
But this is not in New Hampshire. This is sometime in this between now and last October.
Yeah, in the Netherlands. But that's one of the theories, is that she's been moving around from safe house to safe house. And it seems like everyone who's been helping her is like some other crazy woman. Like that's who was hiding her out in Universal City, too, was like some powerful lady who she was friends with, like let her stay at her Universal City house, allegedly.
The thing I don't understand about it is like, why wouldn't you stay in one place and try not to be seen? It feels like every time you would change locations, that's like a new chance to be exposed.
Because you're Carmen Sandiego.
I mean, did she grow out her hair? Did she have a collection of wigs? I mean, you can have fun with this, I suppose, if you wanted to.
I don't know that anyone has seen her yet. Somebody printed like a society page thing where that had one of her friends being like, everyone wants to see if she's gained weight and looks old because socialites are horrible people. But people claim they heard her voice on the press conference call yesterday, that there was like a British woman. People also think maybe she made a deal that she's going willingly because she's been cooperating with the feds and she's going to name names.
I mean, that's the reason, like, that's the whole reason this is news, is that she's like the number one source for whatever was going on besides Jeffrey Epstein, right? That's why this is important.
Maybe our New York politics expert can help with this, but it was allegedly related also to the Berman firing the other day. The SDNY thing where they were like, Bill Barr fired Berman. Some people thought.
Yeah, some people were wondering, like, I know, like, there's some conspiracy. I mean, no one really knows, but I know some people were speculating that perhaps they decided to change strategy when the new guy was brought in. Maybe they were trying to get her to flip on say, the president of the United States, but maybe they've given up that strategy and that's why they're just bringing her in now. But I have no idea.
And this Berman, he's a New York state attorney who, like, that was the guy that they, like, announced his resignation and he was like, wait, I didn't resign. Like, that, which was, like, a couple weeks ago.
And then, a day or two after that, or maybe right around then, another billionaire involved with this circle of people, Steve Bing, committed suicide. And people were speculating that it was related to some files being unsealed that have all these John Does in them.
Eep. That's indeed. All that I can say. Allegedly, eep.
Speaking of Eep, I brought a new thing to the group that is a weird app that the kids are all into.
I'm obsessed with this now.
Called Randonautica. Tess, why don't you explain it?
Okay, so Randonautica is an app that launched, I think, at the beginning of this year, but became very popular during quarantine. It's particularly popular with people on TikTok. So what Randonautica does is it assigns you random coordinates that are close to your geographic location. And what the user does is they set an intention. So, for instance, some of the intentions people have set have been to find a lost cat, to see something purple, or just the word love, which sometimes goes fine. And then they film themselves going to these locations. But there have been all of these strange occurrences within the app that have then been broadcast on TikTok, which have ranged from like, oh, funny coincidence, I was trying to find a lost cat, and then I found a random baby cat, and the baby cat led me to a line of Joshua trees in the desert. How weird. A cat. I found a cat. But then there were people, and I don't know what intention they set, but they were led to a suitcase full of human remains.
Yes, I watched that video. Yeah.
Other people have been led to graveyards, abandoned villages in the forest. It's bizarre. And so, and nobody really knows if there's like, I mean, people probably do know that there's actually no magic in the app, but that it's just people are so bored that you're, if you have a ton of people using an app and they're making connections because their brains need that exercise, that a lot of the connections will be strange. That does not explain finding a suitcase full of human remains, though.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all very Pokemon Go, like, but for 2020, like, appropriately.
It's like an a Ouija board combined with Pokemon Go.
Yes, yeah.
It's like Pokemon Go with no Pokemon.
Yeah,
just dystopian bodies. Go.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little, yeah, it feels like this weird reaction to, like, everybody has to be inside, and so, like, people kind of find the most, because, like, the other thing about having, like, about lockdown or whatever, unless you're going to go out to a restaurant or a bar or something and take your life into your hands, is that if you're not doing that but you want to be out of the house, there's actually not that much stuff to do. So, like, it's like kind of a make – it's like a make play. Yeah. Like, you know, and, yeah, the whole – it just gives you, like, a task. It taskifies going outside, which is – kind of like bound, like there's stuff outside, it turns out, like suitcases with dead bodies in them. I don't know.
Also, everything feels so both chaotic and empty that I think the idea of going to a place that like has been instilled with meaning and you have to look at it with your intention in mind and kind of try to make that connection.
That's also the Ouija board like part of it, I think. Yeah.
It's become a verb too, randonauting, which I like.
So, would any of you do this? Would any of you download the app and actually do this?
I raise my hand.
Tess is the only one raising her.
For sure. I used to dabble in geocaching back in the day.
I guess it's like geocaching.
It's similar to geocaching, except it's done like seemingly at random. Like these points are determined by the app. That's the spooky thing, is that are these locations? Who's determining these locations?
Don't you guys feel like this is a setup for a serial killer?
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%.
Why would you do this?
Yeah. Because I'm so bored, Joelle. I'm so bored.
I was going to say, like, because you're 14 and stuck at home, I was not, I did not think my co-host would be like, yes, yes, I also will.
I was really excited by the story of, like, the person finding the baby cat. That was all it took for me to be like, all of a sudden I was like, puppy. I mean, the possibilities are not endless. It's a short list of animals, but I want to do it.
That outweighs the potential of finding a suitcase of human remains.
It does.
I mean, I went on a new hike the other day, like last week, and that, and like, because I had just been inside so much. Normally that would just be like, whatever, it's a new hike. But just that was like, oh God, am I going to die? Like I followed these instructions that were on some random website for like how to do this certain hike around that I'd never done in Griffith Park. And I was like, oh, what if this leads me to my death? Like, who knows?
Have you ever done a hike wrong?
Oh, all the time. Usually the first time I do a hike wrong, if I'm trying it out. Yeah.
Or you're like trying to find a pin and you're just like, this doesn't seem like the right way.
Yeah. And there's this weird thing. I remember when I first started hiking a lot in LA, and it was around the time, like kind of that very, very long drought that lasted for years. And so I would be looking at photos of what, like, where I was, so it was supposed to look like. And it was like unrecognizable because it was green in all the pictures. So yeah, like you can feel like you're getting pranked by nature sometimes.
Do any of you guys have TikTok? This is only just related to the app, but
to the being 14. No, to the being 14.
That's not something you're required to do for in your line of work, Ezekiel. Like those Epstein stuff.
It's like, I mean, I feel like I like Twitter curates the TikToks that I would be interested in.
Same.
And puts them on Twitter. So it's like I don't have time to go on it myself.
Yeah,
I don't need another time sink.
Yeah, to me, it feels like what people describe it. It's like, oh, it's just teenagers. It's like, no, that's a why no adult should be on TikTok.
What if I went on TikTok just to be randonauting? Would that be wrong? Joelle, I could see Joelle being like, don't do it.
I remember when TikTok, when I first heard of TikTok, it was connected with like people in other countries, like cooking, mm-hmm. or like doing tasks. And it wasn't until like I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months ago that I understood it to be like an app for teens.
I want to say it's like YouTube, where maybe it started out as more just like recording random things for that period of time. And then it turned into people being like, how can I use this to make my brand?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
There's like the YouTube fallout right now is really interesting because it's all of the like first wave stars of that platform. Yeah. Who are all really bad people, it seems like. And they're all leaving or being forced off because they like all have a blackface video. And some of them like got ahead of it, and others like Shane Dawson, it just seems like the worst person alive. But again, you're just like, this is who got famous on YouTube.
Yeah. This is who the algorithm supported.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And I never got that into YouTube. I mean, obviously everybody uses YouTube. It's like a utility like anything else. But I never understood the idea of YouTube as a platform, as an addictive thing to keep coming back to and be a part of. Like, I'm always just like, maybe the thing I'm looking for is on YouTube. So it's all very impenetrable to me as an ancient person, I suppose.
I became very intrigued by it. I was like, who would do this? Why would they do this? And then I had to watch those unboxing videos to satisfy my children's curiosity. And then I looked up how much those people made. And I was like, YouTube, what a place. Maybe I belong on YouTube. I want to talk about Ezekiel's flags. May we?
Molly made the comparison that you and the flags are like her and glass bricks, at least a few weeks or a few years ago, particularly the peak of glass bricks. Sometimes you just find a thing that's like your thing.
But I feel like let's have you talk about it. I was going to say, I think the flags feel more meaningful to me than the bricks. The bricks are kind of repetitive, but the flags, I feel like the more of them there are, they do really interesting things.
Yeah.
Ezekiel, how did you plant your first flag?
Yeah, it was kind of a happenstance obsession. I posted a flag in association with, I think, the U.S. men's soccer team was playing, so I was just like, oh, it's America, I'm going to post this flag, go Team USA. And then I came back to it a month later because it was July 4th, so I was looking at some flags. And then it developed into an obsession. I think probably part of what was going on was like mildly depressed, which made me susceptible to obsessive behaviors. So I started looking up these, you know, American flags in art. And it started, I think it probably accreted more significance than just like a random obsession as I kept looking at the flags. Because it's like it's a super powerful symbol in the sense that like it has very strong connotations, but then an artist can like attach all kinds of different meanings to it. So seeing the ways that people were able to like mobilize the flag or utilize the flag and take advantage of these strong associations and sort of bend them to their purpose was interesting.
Yeah. I feel like the Jasper Johns flag is like always taught in like a modern art class as just kind of an example.
Yeah.
Like that feels
like the three flags, especially, I think that's probably the most famous art piece with a flag in it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the more famous images of the flag period, along with Iwo Jima flag raising and crossing of the Washington crossing the Delaware, that painting.
Do you have any favorite flag related artwork other than the Jasper Johns?
I have a flag in my living room. This was actually a product of my obsession with the flag, because I started a Tumblr so that I would stop bothering my followers on Twitter who likely did not follow me on Twitter because of the flags. So
what's
I started
the Tumblr?
A Tumblr. It's eflags, eflags .tumblr. You can see this
I
piece.
I love it.
Ooh.
So the way I got this was there's an artist. This is by an artist named Sarah Rabar. And she has like a whole series of mixed media flags that she's done. And I would post them on Tumblr, like, you know, with her name. And I posted so many of them that she like contacted me on Tumblr to say thanks for posting my flags. I mean, she's a well-established artist, but like she's not like a name brand person,
right?
And so I asked her if she had any, because I tried to look for prints of her art and couldn't find any, so she sent me that poster.
That makes me miss Tumblr also.
Yeah.
Is there a place people can, since we're on Zoom and we could see what you just showed us, but is that image online and people could find it, or we can link to it or something?
Yeah. I'll send you a link to it.
Yeah. It's cool. It looks like a kind of collage work though.
She does a bunch of like mixed media flags. She basically takes an American flag and then like layers other fabrics and objects on top of them.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
I have a question for you as a connoisseur of all this flag art. Like, what are your feelings about the design of the American flag aesthetically, and then whatever other category, you know, criticism that you have around it? I'd like to know your thoughts on it.
I think one of the super difficult things about it, it's like so familiar as an object to me that it's hard to like say what I think about it aside from like all these associations that I have with it.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like a super weird flag. Like if you try to, like remove all the associations you have from it, there's probably too many stripes. There's too many stars. It's kind of like, it's kind of cluttered.
It's busy. It's too busy.
Yeah. But, I think that uniqueness, especially like the field of stars, the pattern that it's in is super unique. So that makes it like, I can't think of any other flag where you can see just like a little piece of it and you know that it's the American flag, or you can just see the stars in that distinctive pattern and you know it's the American flag. Which is cool for artists because like, you know, they can deploy it so flexibly. You can change the colors and it's still the American flag. You can drop the stars and people still recognize it. You can drop the stripes and people still recognize it. So like as a symbol, it's super successful. I don't know, like as a piece of design work, maybe not that successful. I know a lot of people think it's super ugly.
I think that represents America well, though.
Yeah.
It's ugly and it's kind of tacky and there's a lot going on.
But you can always tell what it is. It always is itself.
Ezekiel, do you feel like your relationship with the flag has changed like as you've done the project?
I mean, since I've thought about it so much, I probably attached more meaning to it than the average person would. So I think it's a very powerful symbol. I don't get like super patriotic feelings or anything like that when I look at it, just because like the number of things that it's been that it can attach itself to sort of removes that feeling. So like you can have, you see the flag, like, so I have pictures of the flag of, you know, in Iraq with American soldiers, pictures of the flag on the moon, people deploying the flag like in protests, people deploying the flag like during the 60s, like Martin Luther King deploying the flag or civil rights marchers deploying the flag, AIDS activists deploying the flag. So it's like, in some senses, like it is a symbol of America, but it's also like a symbol of America as it exists, but also like a symbol of like what people want it to be. Or what people think it is at its best or what it should be or whatever. So
I always feel like the flag on in space or like on the moon is one of the wildest contexts for it, because I think it makes a lot of sense to be used in protests and stuff like that. But there's something about it being in space. I mean, granted, if you are a person who believes that we landed on the moon, then like the idea that like our stupid flag is there. I mean, like, you know, all criticisms and good points and everything. Like, why is that object on this thing that orbits our planet? Like, it just feels so small in that context. I always like kind of flabbergasted by that image being used as like an image of victory or like conquest or something. But I don't know.
I'll miss no opportunity to say that America got to the moon because of the Nazi scientists that they brought over for Operation Paperclip.
Have any of you watched the Apple TV program For All Mankind?
No, I haven't. No. It's
pretty good, I thought. I mean, it's kind of like, I'm a kind of a space nerd type, so it's
yeah,
like
I was
right
a big Battlestar head, so I was like, oh, maybe right. I should watch that. Yeah.
So like, it's an alternate history of the space race, and like they imagine us like not stopping moon trip. I don't remember how the divergence happens from our timeline, but anyway, one of the things that they go into is like how this was dependent on Nazi scientists. And there's like this big, one of the characters in the show. So like it ends up being like, you get women astronauts way earlier. So you get women astronauts in like the 60s.
Yeah.
And one of the female scientists, her mentor is a Nazi scientist. And there's like this big reckoning that ends up happening where, he's called before Congress and like, cause in the show, it's like a power play. They're trying to get rid of him. And so they like suddenly remember, oh yeah, this guy's a Nazi. Like maybe we should call him to account for all of his crimes and they get rid of him.
Yeah. But
like through it, they like, there's like a reckoning of like how the space race depended on these horrible Nazis that we redeemed for their scientific accomplishments.
Yeah.
Wow. Ezekiel, you should definitely check out Starship Troopers.
Yeah, it's like a weird gap in my viewing, because I like science fiction, so it's, I don't know why I haven't seen it before.
Oh yeah,
it's a good time to watch Starship Troopers, as we all discovered.
If you're interested in what if the space race had continued, it's a very good
yeah
thing about that. I had an argument with my mom the other day about the flag, because she gave me a little flag that came, like a realtor left a calendar that had an American flag, and she was like, you can have it. And then she immediately was like, don't burn it. And I was like,
what?
They know you too well.
And I was like, Mom, I'm not going to do it on camera.
Oh my God.
She was like, you know, we have to like rescue it from all the horrible meanings, especially it's like taken on right now. You know, we have to like take it back. And I was like, I don't know if it can be taken back anymore. You know, like when I see an American flag just on somebody's house now, like I get a little freaked out. I, you know, even if it is the 4th of July, it just like it reads differently. Do you think that the American flag can be reclaimed? Or do you think the point is to like, you know, set it on fire?
I feel like it can be reclaimed. I mean, a lot of the flag has flown over a lot of horrible things. Sometimes even concurrently with people claiming it. You know, you can even like the civil rights context is the one I always return to. You know, you can find another famous picture of the flag is during a anti-busing protest in Boston. A guy getting like sort of speared with the flag on a pole.
Oh, yeah. I've
seen this picture before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's being like used in an anti-civil rights context. At the same time, people were flying the flag deploying it to say like America should be a country that treats its citizens equally.
Yeah.
So I feel like the flag could be reclaimed if people, I mean, you can lay claim to it if you want. Kendrick Lamar did his, I don't remember which music awards it was, but he had like a giant art piece with the flag flying behind his performance. So I feel like, I guess my answer is like, I don't think it needs to be particularly reclaimed. I have the same feeling like when I see, if I see someone flying the flag on like their pickup truck, I sort of feel like this is probably not a good person.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, that goes back to like post 9/11. I feel like that's the first time for our generation that the flag really got weaponized in a kind of conservative context. But
Yeah. I remember people put up a lot of flags on their dorm walls, on like the front of their doors on their dorms. And I went around and just like turned them all upside down.
Why were they... They're doing that at Brown? For what?
Just people everywhere were getting that jingoism, you know. I mean, that's what I think is like scary about any kind of patriotic signifier, is like it can be used for evil, but it also like, yeah, it can be used for good. Like, I also feel like the flag, it depends on the context, like you were saying, depends who's flying it.
It's like the country that you're in. It's like a microcosm. It's like, is it like, does that count as like a synecdoche or like whatever that word is, like for the country? But it's not, isn't it? Synecdoche is like the name of the movie.
The place
I don't
in
know.
New York. Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know what I don't know how to pronounce it. I've never actually attempted to pronounce it out loud. But like the thing that's sort of this is like the microcosm of a larger thing that can be kind of used to speak about it. In, like, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. I'm not an expert at this sort of thing. But like, it does feel like in that way, the flag is sort of perfect as a symbol, because it is this, it is completely, its importance and its virtue or lack thereof is like completely dependent on the context and who's holding it and what's going on with it. It's kind of a neutral entity. Mm-hmm. Just like the country.
Like, yeah, that's my thing. Like, I remember someone getting really upset at me posting pictures of the flag, and they're like, you know, people have flown the flag for all kinds of horrible reasons, and so I don't think you should be posting flag art. Or I don't remember what exactly he said, but that was like the paraphrase of his meaning. Yeah. And my feeling is like, it is not like say a swastika,
right,
where the meaning's super determined and it can only really mean one thing. I feel like the flag has been used in enough context that it can have good or bad reasons depending on who's flying it, in what context, and why.
Yeah,
it's like a mirror.
It's like a mirror.
I'm sure somebody's made a mirror flag at some point. Somebody's blowing some minds.
There have been some mirror flags, yeah.
Ezekiel, do you have any like second and third favorite flags?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I have too many. I have trouble picking favorite anything. I have trouble picking favorite movies.
Yeah. Oh, that's like the worst question to ask me ever. Like, I can never pick a favorite anything. Favorite movie particularly, but yeah.
I saw this Jasper Johns flag recently that I really liked. It's, I don't remember. I think I saw it because some gallery was selling it. Let me see if I can quickly find it on my computer. But I just loved like the way it was layered. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, thank you.
I just really heard like a firework.
I really like the David Hammonds did the African American flag, which is a color swapped American flag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That so one's pretty iconic. Really, I feel like that has a long lifespan.
Yeah, that one has set a long lifespan.
Yeah, I was looking for this. I saw this thing going around my Twitter recently, and now I'm like, real soon, I should have looked into it before this. There's some sort of thing called like the My American Flag Project, where people are like redesigning the American flag.
Yeah.
Which feels like weird.
somebody sent that to me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, now it's super funny because now, like, I don't know if somebody mentioned it, but like when people see the American flag, like a flag in like an art piece, or just like they see it out in the wild, they'll send it to me. So somebody sent me, it's like my brand now, for better or for worse, but like somebody sent me that My American Flag Project.
Yeah.
I think the ones that I saw, one of them was actually the just the African American flag. I don't know if the person knew the history of it or like it was an accident or what the deal was with that.
Yeah.
Have you ever made a flag cake?
I have no skill at.
Are you talking about like with the berries frosting. And stuff?
Yeah.
Have you?
No, but I'm thinking about it. Now I want to make the American flag out of food.
Yeah. Have you, is there any other symbol that you think like has this sort of quality? Cause I think like, I think you hit on something so right about like what you were saying at the beginning where it's just like, it's like a thing that you don't have a feeling about almost anymore because it's so ubiquitous because it's so a part of like, if you've grown up here, it's a part of your childhood. Like, I don't know if they still make kids like do the Pledge of Allegiance in school, but that was something we had to do when I was in like at least through elementary, middle school. Mm-hmm. Like there are a few things that kind of rival it. I'm trying to think of other things that have that, like, you know, just feel that bone deep at this point. I guess it kind of depends on cultures, but yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything in the American context where that has that sort of neutral, that has that sort of power as a symbol while also having like sort of neutral connotations. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is super, and the American people's, I feel like our relationship to our flag is kind of unique too. Like, I don't feel like other countries, from what I've read, it doesn't feel like other countries have the same relationship with their own flag. Like the Pledge of Allegiance is about the flag. The national anthem is also about seeing the flag. It's kind of odd.
it's like this thing that just stands in for it. It's like, we're not going to really actually say anything. We're just going to say like, we like the flag. It's such a weird tradition.
Yeah.
Like kind of rhetorical tradition.
I just feel like your Twitter threads are really incredible. And like one of the few things on Twitter that I'm like, this is art. You know, like this is someone who's using social media for good in a really cool, interesting way.
Who's the art decider now?
Yeah. But it just reminds me of film school stuff too, where they show you like, you know, images next to each other and how they relate to each other, and just seeing them as a long stream like that, in conversation with each other. I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's cool you've been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of don't post them on Twitter anymore, but I still look at them all the time.
Yeah.
Like, find new pictures of them and stuff.
People send me glass bricks under the table all the time. People will send them to me and be like, are you still doing this?
Are you still looking at the bricks?
Is this account still active?
Well, Ezekiel, thank you so much for joining us today. We mentioned your Twitter. It's The Shrillest. You have also been DJing on Twitch, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
DJing.
Yeah. If you wouldn't mind sharing a link to that we can share with our listeners, I think we'd all enjoy it.
Where do you find those backgrounds for your DJ sets?
I think the last few backgrounds have been, I did Samsara once, I did Baraka once. There's all, so I'm kind of a film nerd, so I just found some movies that didn't have narratives and had interesting. If you have suggestions, I'm all out. behind my set. So if you have suggestions, I'm wide open.
When's your next DJ set? Your next Twitch set? Or do you have
it
one?
It will probably be next Thursday. I don't really have a schedule because I have children, so I'm not sure. It also always depends on how soon they go to bed. But it's like usually Thursday or Friday nights is when I try to do it.
Cool.
I like a DJ who doesn't know when he's going to play, because it's like when the wind calls. You know?
Yeah, exactly. When the world needs music.
Yeah. Yes. Your DJ set relaxed me a lot last week. So.
Oh, cool. I'm glad.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Ezekiel.
Thank you.
We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be discussing Starship Troopers.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Welcome back to Night Call. For the second half of the show, we're going to talk about a little Paul Verhoeven movie called Starship Troopers, based on a Robert Heinlein novel, famously right-wing militaristic sci-fi novel. The Verhoeven Starship Troopers is a parody of fascism and militarism. But at the time, a lot of people didn't pick up on that, apparently.
And still people don't pick up on that, which is remarkable. I don't know how.
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about it because we've been talking a lot about like things that people call satire and whether it counts as satire if nobody understands that it's satire, you know?
Yeah.
Does that just make it the thing it's parodying? I feel like that's come up a lot in the blackface discussion about sitcoms getting pulled.
This is
in particular face. Mad Men. Are you talking about that one?
Yeah, because a lot of people asked me about that. And yeah. I think I obviously thought about it a lot. But also it's like a lot of people were upset because they were like, well, they're just pulling these sitcom episodes. But like, they should do that after we've defunded and abolished the police. Like,
exactly.
It's like they're doing all the like, let's celebrate things before the thing has been done that you would be celebrating mm-hmm. by doing,
and
you know.
The instances of the Golden Girls in mud masks and the like highly self-aware Roger Sterling in blackface from Mad Men seem different than the blackface instances that are clearly just horrible people doing
it. Also
horrible
seems
thing.
Like you know, I think Karina Longworth said about Song of the South that it's like when you make these things unavailable, you risk turning them into fetish objects. A lot of people who like Community were really mad because it was like an episode beloved by fans. Mm-hmm.
And it's like a half second joke in the middle of a whole episode.
Yeah, they were like, just recut it, you know, without that joke so we can still enjoy this episode. But I think also it's just like, just just give money to Black creators and showrunners to make new stuff.
I think in the case of something like Starship Troopers and the Roger Sterling episode, I think that like art's going to have to comment on this stuff sometimes. I mean,
I want to say also, like, I think Mad Men did a really bad job with race overall. Like, that was one of my
definitely
big criticisms of the show. And I definitely thought it was going to tackle it at some point in some kind of real way. And it just never really did, except through things like that Roger Sterling scene.
The character of Dawn had like a lot on her shoulders and didn't come in until like, what, 4 seasons in, 5 seasons in? I can't remember.
And I think they really just like avoided, they thought it was like too much of a third rail for the show. It's like it'll make every other character on the show seem like an asshole, which they are. Mm-hmm. Even in that scene, I remember thinking, like, is it realistic that like some people would express disgust at this, or would they all just like fake it while their boss did his blackface routine? Like, we're definitely supposed to be grossed out by like some of them doing it, but then some people are like, oh, like I'm having a good reaction to this that will never be shown, you know, we'll never delve into these issues ever again in the show.
I mean, aside from the historicity of people being disgusted or not disgusted by a minstrel performance on an episode of Mad Men that takes place in the 60s, like, I do think that as a work of art itself, as Mad Men is, like, I think that episode does a really good job of making you feel like disgust around this, and it's so awkward and it's not funny. Like, this is like what kind of makes it stand out for me is that it's not funny. It is like appropriately, like, you kind of want to turn it off because it's so cringe inducing. Right. And I think that that's like, aside from like, oh, but our hero Don Draper is woke and he doesn't like this. Yeah. Like, I think that it does a good job of getting that across.
At the same time, even though I think it does in the episode, people still like just made gifs of that, you know, and then it just becomes like an image taken out of context. And like,
but that can also happen with almost anything. I mean, I feel like that can't be something that keeps you from trying to address things like that. Like, I was glad that instead of just avoiding it, like you said, the third rail, that they kind of like had that in there. It is so uncomfortable. But also, I mean, going back to Starship Troopers a bit, like it's very similar in the sense that like you can take a piece of Starship Troopers and use it to make the opposite argument that the movie is making. And like, and it is kind of crazy. I was looking at old reviews, how many people, critics, misunderstood this movie. Janet Maslin. I mean, everybody was like, this movie is like intended for really immature 11-year-old boys who just want to see like crazy violence and shit getting blown up. And like, you know, it's so militaristic, like how horrible. And it's like, yes, exactly. It's so militaristic, how horrible. I loved this movie. Not to steer it too far away from the Mad Men thing, but I think it's similar, you know?
It is. So I said it's fascist face.
Exactly.
Like, right. Like, some people were saying it's too successful. They were like, it's too good at portraying this, like, shiny, beautiful fascist world that, like, the critique is undermined by, like, how cool it looks.
No, everything looks horrible in it. The ships are all ugly as fuck. Like, as a sci-fi connoisseur, like, they have ugly ships in Starship Troopers, and I feel like that's intentional.
No, it's all Nazi design. Like, it's not even, you know, it's just directly taken from Nazi designs. Like, the, you know, the trench coat that Doogie Howser is wearing at the end, obviously, is like a Nazi trench coat.
But also, aside from like the stuff that is even direct nods to Nazi Germany, which there are plenty in this movie, like even just the tackiness of it, like I don't think that it's beautiful. And maybe this is like a whole politics of taste thing, but it's like that kind of thing where if you step over into like a right-wing website or you go down a rabbit hole or something like that, and you're like, oh, the graphic design sucks here. Like, on top of the politics, it's like, and it's that kind of feeling, like that the whole interface for the federal network, the do you want to know more thing, is like the worst kind of, you know, Fox News-esque infographic type shit. Like, it's I don't know. I think like it hits the nail. It actually feels prescient now because that was like, what, this was like 98.
97.
97. Yeah. So this is
like the year it all happened.
Yeah. So it's very, it feels like Fox News and those sorts of outlets sort of took the Starship Troopers aesthetic and ran with it unironically.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's parodying propaganda outlets, and there's so much of that now in the way that it's adapted itself to the internet, and that like really ancient racist and anti-Semitic memes have like resurfaced in that way is so crazy to me. Yeah. But also sort of not, you know, not beyond comprehension. Because yeah, if you put these really ugly messages in this very like slick packaging, this movie also makes you feel really gross and uncomfortable about all of that stuff. And the whole opening is just a recreation of Apart from Triumph of the Will.
Yeah.
There's something so unsettling about that uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that I always think of and kind of forget in between reviewings of Starship Troopers is how much it feels like Harry Potter. Like it's a part of this like genre that's also very big in like anime and manga and stuff of like the school narrative. Because they start off at school. It's like three friends, like where will their futures lead them? Like the future is so big and they're like, they have so much promise and like they're going to excel in this class or this class, like games and wait, what does it call it? Games and theory. Like, and everybody has like their expertise. And it's this very like, it's this narrative that kind of takes the system that these characters are in for granted and is like, see, it's fun. It's like a game to work your way up through the academy or through the military or like to become a citizen or whatever the case may be. And I think like that's such a brilliant, I mean, I think that's just in the novel, but I think to kind of use that sort of seemingly benign thing of like a story about friends in school to become this fascist narrative is like very, very, it cuts deep.
Yeah. And it's also this world where it's sort of like presented as being like post-gender and post-racial, like it's mm-hmm. very diverse and there's no racism. And men and women shower together and it's not sexual, but also like women are drone pilots. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That's like a RoboCop thing too.
Denise Richards is totally like an anime fascist girl.
Yeah.
That's all I could think about. She's like perfect looking. And
she is so unnaturally beautiful that it makes you uncomfortable. Like her like violet eyes.
Right. They both look like total like Aryan Superman and woman. But then I was reading more about the book and I found out that in the book, his character is Filipino and it was whitewashed in the movie. And her character, I think, is Brazilian. Her name is Carmen Ibanez.
Yeah, they all have like Spanish names, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed in the IMDb trivia, because I was very confused by that. This was my first time seeing Starship Troopers, which I swear I thought I saw in college, but I was either too stoned or didn't actually see Starship Troopers. But in the trivia, Casper Van Dien said that he was often asked why a blonde-haired, blue-eyed actor would play the Argentinian Juan Rico. He suggested his character was the descendant of exiled Germans. Argentina was famously a hiding place mm-hmm. of German war criminals mm-hmm. after World War II. And they do. I mean, they have that kind of like German Nazi youth look. It seems it seems on purpose in the film that you know.
He is Dutch, mm-hmm. which is and Verhoeven lived in Nazi occupied Netherlands as a child. So there was a quote from Verhoeven where he called it "All Quiet on the Final Frontier."
Ha! Nice.
Yeah. So it is also like a critique of Star Wars type stuff. Any kind of like we're going to the academy.
Totally.
One thing that hit really different on this viewing was the fact that the spaceport is the LA Convention Center.
Yeah.
Because we very recently saw the LA Convention Center occupied by the National Guard.
Mm. Oh, and we saw it occupied by the National Guard. That was like their headquarters. It was also in Face Off. Like we've been at the LA Convention Center a lot lately. The thing that I love about Starship Troopers, and I was also thinking about this. This is like kind of on my mind after watching Watchmen recently, is that I love a work of adaptation. And in this case, a work of adaptation that is like actively pushing against its source material mm-hmm. and like being really actively critical about it and using that criticism as like to create something new essentially. And I think like in the case of Watchmen, you have something that's sort of like, and this on top of the themes that are presented by the original Watchmen. Like I think that stuff is super inspiring to me because I think we see so much adaptation. Like the idea of IP is so ruling everything in Hollywood right now. And it's just like, what if you could do something on the level of a Starship Troopers where you're like, okay, this book fucking sucks, but what if I could do something with it? Like there's a great quote, the quote from Verhoeven about it. His screenwriter, Ed Neumeier, or Neumeier, who also wrote RoboCop, brought him the book and wanted to adapt it. He was just like a fan of it from childhood or whatever. And so he gave it to Paul Verhoeven. This is an interview in Empire. And he said, I stopped after two chapters because it was so boring, says Verhoeven of his attempts to read Heinlein's Opus. It is really quite a bad book. I asked Ed Neumeier to tell me the story because I couldn't read the thing. It's a very right-wing book. And with the movie, we tried, and I think at least partially succeeded in commenting on that at the same time. It would be an eat your key can have it. All the way through, we were fighting with the fascism, the ultra-militarism. All the way through, I wanted the audience to be asking, are these people crazy? So, I don't know. And I think, like, for me it works, but obviously for some people it, like, didn't get through, but
yeah. And you know, he mentions the bugs as sort of just like this stand-in for any kind of like military foe. Robert Heinlein wrote the book during the Cold War because he was mad we weren't having hot wars anymore. He was like, we should be like developing nuclear weapons and stuff. And he blamed it, this is such a sci-fi nerd guy thing to do, he blamed it on like young people having too much freedom was the downfall of society, that
clearly
like society would remake itself as this like perfect fascist world after like juvenile delinquents destroyed America, you know?
Yeah, because there's the scene in the classroom at the beginning where is it Dizzy is like, oh, I thought like violence doesn't solve everything, and her teacher like puts her in her place, and there's so much that flies by in that scene that's fascinating, like where like the teacher says of like something that's given to you has no value, only something that's taken by force has any value, and like the moral difference between the citizen and the civilian.
Like Total Recall, there's a lot of stuff in this about having to earn your rights, having to earn your citizenship. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like in the, when they're in the shower all together, everyone's asking like, why did you enlist? And I mean, among the answers are someone wanted to go to Harvard and they were like, but I can't go unless like I'm a citizen and, you know, then they'll help pay for it. Someone else was like, I want to have babies and so I need to be a citizen.
To get the permit.
Yeah, everything is dictated by your service in the military.
Yeah, and it sort of demonstrates like the way that, you know, U.S. military recruiting does, that it's like these people aren't evil. They're just like poor simps who got, you know, promised things. This is like a better plan for them than anything else.
Yeah.
You feel bad for them.
Well, also the promotional videos that they kind of make of these kids who are so like almost seem that they're jacked up on amphetamine with the excitement of fighting the arachnids. I mean, it's very similar to the kind of propaganda that that is used by the military to entice people who are, you know, in high school, basically, who need a way out.
This made me read a lot about the Reich Labor Service, which was a problem in Nazi Germany. It was basically like they leveraged unemployment to get all these young people to join the Nazi labor service. And it was basically what is in this movie, where you earn your rights, you earn things by executing your service. That's how you like earn citizenship. And it was kind of presented in this very like gender equitable way as like one of the great things about like Nazi Germany will be that like women will have, you know,
yeah, promise the future of women in the workplace in a fascist regime, and like you can get whatever you want.
Right. Like there will be a place for you if you help, like, you know, trod everybody else under your boot who's lesser than you.
There was also the whole thing about, like, I thought the interesting, like, the sports aspect of it at the beginning was also kind of funny. It, like, links, like, sports and, like, sex and the military all together is, like, part of a never-ending ring of youthful energy. And it's like the presentation of an enemy. Like, anything that you can narrativize is, like,
right,
this guy's going to take your girl, or like this is the rival football team, or, you know, or those bugs want to kill you. Like, it's that these people only respond when there is an enemy that they can, like, they have, like, Casper Van Dien's character basically has zero direction in his life unless something's trying to take something that's his, whether it's his, like, his hometown getting attacked by the bugs, or somebody trying to steal his girl. Like, that's the only thing that mobilizes him. It's all 100% reactionary.
That's what's also scary about now is, you know, looking at the stuff about the Reich labor force. It's like, oh, everybody was unemployed and they were directionless, and all they wanted was like to have a job again and to have someone to tell them what to do. And, you know, a lot of people were just following orders. Like, not everybody was a Nazi general, but a lot of people were just, like, complicit by being part of it because they didn't have any better options.
There's a... I think the LAPD Twitter account recently has been posting, like, stories of officers or something to, I don't know, to, like, engender sympathy for the LAPD or something, or to humanize them.
Oh, yeah. Copaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight from the cops in this case. Like,
yeah. No, it always comes from the cops, but it's on, like, every local news show and stuff like that.
But it's stuff like, you know, like, I grew up poor, and, like, I was the first person from my family to go to college, and, like, in this last one, I think this was just today, like, the tweet said something like, you know, I had every excuse, like, did not say what the excuse was for. Like, I had every excuse, I guess what, to be, like, not a cop. but I didn't take it, like, and I decided that I wanted to, like, serve my city by being in the military. And it's so Starship Troopers, all this shit. Yeah. Like, it's so, like, I'm doing my part. Like, it's just very transparent.
For sure. And the fact that you have, like, a white power army in this movie, but it's diverse, is, very unsettling.
Yeah. Like, you can have Jake Busey and black women fighting side by side in the military. Like,
Jake Busey.
The pastiest man.
Jake Busey, another through line.
Yeah, wait. So what other movie was Jake Busey in that we saw?
He's the freaky guy in Contact.
He is the freaky guy. So he apparently, everybody was suffering from heat stroke while filming Starship Troopers, I guess, when they were in the Badlands in Wyoming. Maybe that was there, but everybody, it was like 125 degrees, and I thought I read that Jake Busey suffered a horrible, like, a stroke or something. And they had to take, like, a week off, but he is giving an amazing performance. Again, I'm like, it besides being a really, like, timely critique of militarization and you know, a lot of stuff that we're seeing going on now, it also, like, the excitement and the fervor and the, like, optimism of these kids in this movie is so intense, in that it's being used for such evil, but it's like this bright, big white tooth smile and these big eyes. It's so scary.
Right, 'cause they're being told that they're going to be heroes and legends, but then it's like they see everybody at the beginning of the movie who's missing limbs, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, and that actor, by the way, is actually a double amputee, which I did not know.
He was great. Yeah. It's like he encounters all these people that are like, oh, you're going to fight the bugs? Like, good luck.
Yeah.
But, like, they're promising.
Infantry made me the man I am, with, like, points to stump. Like,
anything where it's like they're telling, you know, you're just like you're a meat shield, basically.
Yeah.
But they are selling you this idea that you're something other than that.
You guys are really making me want to revisit this movie because I haven't seen it since I was, like, 10.
Oh, my God. You have to. Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
I mean, like, I can't imagine being a child and watching this movie.
It's so violent.
It's hyper violent and cruel. And, like, there's such a – what I remember most about it is the coldness with which like punishment was applied and the way mm-hmm. in which they addressed like all of their deaths. And that like really, it freaked me out. I was like, especially the whipping scene, because I was fresh off of Amistad. And I was like, what is happening with all these movies my parents are showing me? So violent and horrifying. But I was interested to hear what you guys think about, especially, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on it, but like the costuming specifically and the way it's sort of like, if I think about fashion at this time, like late 90s, early, because it's like what, 97, 98, 97. And this idea of like military clothing suddenly becoming hip, especially the like camouflage patterns. Yes. And the big pants and stuff. Did that leave any impression on you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think style is the way that people often launder fascism, you know, is like, ooh, but it's such a good logo, which I feel like we were kind of talking about with the flag before.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's what's scary about symbols is they can be used to kind of cover up crimes. That's what we talk about in Olympics a lot, my anti-Olympics group, because a lot of people are very attached to the graphic design of the Olympics. But again, it's like that's used to kind of cover up a lot of abuse and financial fucked up behavior.
I think also like going back to the sort of egalitarianism between like genders in this, like it is kind of an androgynous thing. Like Denise Richards does not, aside from like the party scene or whatever, she's not like dressed sexy or anything. She's dressed like a pilot. And there's this sort of like, and I feel like that's something that always is getting, that's always a point of conversation in like genre stuff and in video games. It's like, why can't the woman who's holding the two machine guns, you know, like not be sexualized?
See, I find it just as scary when she's like cutie Panzer Division. Like that was so scary to me.
Yeah, like the beret shit.
And she's just when she's wearing the Nazi uniform and just like smiling.
Totally.
And like shooting it. And you know, and then at the end when Doogie Howser feels the bug, when they see like the last living bug.
It's afraid.
How he feels, and it's afraid and they all cheer. It's just like.
Well, that's like the most on the nose. The Neil Patrick Harris costume is like the most on the nose SS officer type shit. But yeah.
To Joelle's point, I think a lot of that stuff came back under the guise of like, we're so far removed from actual Nazis. We can do this as fashion now.
Like Hugo Boss can be a legitimate brand that like advertises. Yeah. In Vogue.
Right. Like Hugo Boss did come back really big in the 90s for sure. But also like all these 70s rock guys bought Nazi memorabilia, you know, to be like edgelords of the 70s.
Prince Harry.
Right. Lots of people think it's like we're so far away from it, but we're never that far away from it, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like I do think it's interesting that we're talking about Starship Troopers and this kind of stuff right after talking about the flag, because like, I don't know. I mean, I still keep coming back to the fact that there are just two completely different readings of this movie and that we're all very confident and comfortable with our reading. It was it was intended to be read that way, but it's weird that people can like miss putting together all of these elements and all of these clues about the message behind this movie, like people who are really seasoned at like taking apart movies. And I mean,
I was gonna say, or they just, you know, believe in the Forever War. There is a book, like an anti-war sci-fi book written in response to this book called The Forever War, where it's like the minions sort of like realize that they're being used for cannon fodder and that But Verhoeven said this movie was really his own response to like America after World War II becoming just like increasingly imperialistic and involving itself in all kinds of conflicts that it didn't need to be part of. But, you know, America had to be convinced to go into World War II because a lot of people did not think we belonged there.
Yeah. Right. We were on the fence for a long time about World War II, it turns out.
Well, Verhoeven said too that this is based. Parts of it are patterned after Triumph of the Will, but also after the Frank Capra response to Triumph of the Will that was meant to like engender the same kind of patriotism in Americans and be like, this is why we have to go do this.
Right.
Because Frank Capra was like terrified by Triumph of the Will. He was like, this is such a good work of propaganda. We have to make an equally good work of propaganda.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff in the Frank Capra one that's totally false. There's like a, you know, it's obviously very racist towards the Japanese, but there's just like some conspiracy stuff in it that was maybe used to help speed the process along of getting America on board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I've been listening to the current hardcore history about the Pacific Theater of World War II a lot. And it's very interesting to see the whole West Coast history of demonizing Japanese people through all that in ways that I kind of knew about in a cursory way, but never in depth. But yeah, it's wild. And again, it is all about finding a common enemy and creating a narrative and like, and then creating a system that can be seen as blameless. Like somehow the idea of police in this country being something that people just take for granted and that it works. And like, well, we gotta have police. We can't not have police. Like it's the same as this military system in this film. Like I was, and going back to the flogging scene that Joelle mentioned is like, there's something in that scene where I think like, if you don't get it by then, then you're kind of like, I don't know what to tell you. Cause it's just like,
there are a couple parts like that too.
Well, from the opening segment, like if you don't get that, but also by that scene, because it's like, the idea of that scene is not, oh my God, this system that I have signed up for is hurting me and is blaming me for like this horrible thing that happened that ultimately I didn't have that much control over and now I'm being like publicly flogged for it. It's like, no, this is good for him. This is gonna like make him better within the system, which is so like, that's, you know, and then so the hero of the movie then, or the hero of the Heinlein story, at least, is the system, that the system will make this person better, and that you can be improved through it, and the system knows best.
There's like a brief mention of showing executions on TV.
Yeah. Oh like, yeah.
Tonight,
yeah.
Tonight at 6.
The electric chair.
Tune in.
Yeah,
the only difference I think, this also made me think about The Purge, which has come up a lot in my mind in the past while. In that, I was like, you're right, like the Nazi uniform now, like the uniform that scares me now is not a trench coat. It's like, you know, the Boogaloo stuff. Like it's somebody with like a Blue Lives Matter sticker on their car and like a Hawaiian shirt, you know?
And
like
still that. The fatigues, the cargo shorts.
Yeah, just like... That to me is even scarier because it's like so dressed down and informal, you know, it's like, it's terrifying.
I'm just a dude at a cookout. Like
somebody was posting ones today that were all these like Disney, like Mickey Blue Lives Matter flag inside a Mickey. And it just says like daddy on it, you know,
what?
Where I was like, that's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Take it away. No, thank you. Well, if you haven't seen Starship Troopers in a while, might be a good time to watch it.
And I think that you don't like it, it might hit different now.
It might.
As Joelle pointed out. Like,
I could say that I saw Jaws yesterday. I don't know what time it is anymore. but the idea of a mayor denying people or not informing his community about a deadly shark and opening the beaches because it's the 4th of July and we need to make money and this is how we survive.
Oh my God.
Real freaking weird.
What? Jaws is the timeliest thing to, it was
holy
on
shit.
The other day, or maybe like I'd recorded it and I was like, this is too real, but it's also such a good movie in general.
So you're saying LA al fresco is Jaws?
Yes. Yes. 100%.
Is Garcetti the giant shark?
Is he Bruce?
He's the mayor. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, check that out. It makes for good 4th of July viewing, I think, if you have to stay inside for your 4th of July. Might as well watch Starship Troopers and then Jaws. Sounds American enough to me.
That's a good double bill. We all back that double bill.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to Night Call this week. You can follow us on social at Night Call Pod on Twitter, Night Call Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That would be lovely. We would appreciate it. You can also support us on our Patreon at patreon.com/nightcall. You can get our newsletter, bonus episodes, merch, all sorts of fun stuff there. So check that out. And we'll be back next week.
We are also looking for stories from teachers and students who have emerged now from the very strangest school year ever. We would love to hear your experiences of how this period of time has been. So if you would like to give us a night call at 240-46-NIGHT, you can be anonymous. Just let us know. You can also send us an email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. Just let us know if you wouldn't like to be identified or if you have a nickname that no one will be able to identify you by. You can give us that. Thanks a lot, and we're hoping to feature those stories in upcoming episodes.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.